Cuoso.
Welcome back to the Crossover Podcast, show where you get comics, pop culture, and sports. And I swear to God, at some point, we will get to some pop culture and comics. I swear that will happen on this podcast. I just need some stuff. I'm not doing weekly reviews of The Boys. That's just not happening. But, you know, The Mandalorian will be back soon, so we got that. But we are talking sports today, and we are miraculously talking week one lines in the National Football League. Joining me today, Craig Needles. How the hell are you, Craig?
I'm doing good.
All right.
I'm doing all right.
Good day. I'm coming off
a big Raptor win, keeping the season alive, so that's
nice,
a win.
Nice. Game 7 on Friday?
Yeah, Friday night, 9 o'clock.
All right, there you go. The Bill's not with us this week, unfortunately. We're getting, because of aforementioned Raptors game, we're getting at this a little bit later than usual. So Bill will not make this one, but he will be back next week to talk football. But I got his picks. Which I'll give you at the end of the podcast. But here we go. Craig Needles talking week one in the National Football League. God, so exciting. Ah, love this. It'll be weird, but we will, like the NFL themselves, just put our heads down and kind of plow through and figure it out as we go. First up, Thursday nighter tomorrow, as of 24 hours from now, we'll be watching probably the second half of this game as of us recording this. First game, the Houston Texans are heading to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. I mean, they're heading to Kansas City, but there's not going to be any people in the stands, so who knows, which will somewhat affect the gambling lines, but we'll see how this goes. The Kansas City Chiefs,
for their first home game, their game against Tampa Bay a little bit later, we'll talk about it in a bit, but they're going to allow like 7,500 people in because they're like, well, you can still social distance if we let 7,500 people in, mm-hmm, in a stadium designed for 70,000.
Yeah.
But that's not.
And the Cowboys, same thing, are doing, doing the same thing.
It's like, anyway, it's, they're right. You can be 6 feet from everybody if those are the dimensions, but that's, mm-hmm, yeah. Will be a football game, though, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Kansas City Chiefs, -9.5 to start off the season, Craig. Defending Super Bowl champions, who I believe scored 51 straight points against this very same Texans team several months ago back in January in the divisional round, I believe.
Yeah, and I heard everything you just said. I watched that game you were talking about very closely, mm-hmm, and I'm picking the Texans.
Are you? Oh, interesting.
9.5. Like, aren't the Texans a little too, like, they're a decent team to be 9.5-point dogs?
I
understand
so.
That Kansas City's a tough draw, mm-hmm, but 9.5's a lot for me on this.
Yeah, it does seem a little bit high. I think this game opened up a little lower. I think it opened up at like 7.5 or 8, and the Sharps bet it up to 9.5, which makes sense.
Couldn't you see, though, some situation where Kansas City is up by 14 and there's less than a minute to go and Houston drives down and scores a touchdown, that means absolutely nothing? Like, doesn't that feel like how this game goes?
This has backdoor cover.
Like, it's not a competitive, sure, like, the drive is not competitive, but Houston scores anyway to cover the spread.
Yeah, I mean, this also has remember the Broncos had the one Thursday nighter where Peyton Manning had like 7 touchdowns or something against the Ravens, and it was just,
yep,
a complete and utter shambles from the although that game was like tied at halftime, and then Manning.
Denver was up by 4 at the half. Either way, but yeah, the second half the Ravens just were not competitive. They just got absolutely crushed.
I could see something like that happening. I have this as a stay away. It was mostly because I like other. There's other games that I like going down the slate, but I mean, the Chiefs, I could just see them. The Texans, I believe in Deshaun Watson, and Bill O'Brien's not as bad as a coach as you think. I just think the Chiefs are gonna run, like, I can really see them running roughshod over the Texans. And like, I read some stat today that I think week one in the last like 5 years or something, week one dogs that are 8 or high, dogs of 8 or higher, 4-16, straight up, Craig, but 15-5 against the spread. So that's working in your favor there.
Yeah, I feel good about that. Those numbers, that's for sure. Yeah, I just like I like Houston to cover here. I think that what's the over under for this game? I rarely bet overs just because they're typically, like, I know they're the most fun bet, but that's why I rarely bet them, because you kind of get priced out of them. But what's the over under for this game? Do you have that in front of you?
54.5.
Okay.
So that's a little bit lower than you would thought.
Yeah, I would have thought it'd be like
considering 50, the last last time these two teams hooked up, the Chiefs nearly covered that by themselves.
Yeah, that's true. That's interesting. Maybe I will make an exception to the rule and take the over there, but I certainly like Houston, and this feels like a Houston in the over parlay to me, is what I'll say.
I don't mind it. Heading to the Monday or the Sunday afternoon games. First up, the Seattle Seahawks are heading to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. Seahawks, a 2-point road favorite in this one. Not sure if that has any meaning so far in this COVID era, but nonetheless, the Seahawks are -2 against the Falcons. What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to take Seattle. I don't trust this Atlanta team, and I think that Seattle's going to be able to do that thing they do, which is run the ball. They're going to be able to do that well enough that they're able to control the clock and cover the spread here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the Seahawks here too. Hopefully, I'd like to see them let Russell Wilson, and we discussed this on the over-unders on the Win Totals podcast. Let's just see Russell Wilson cook a little bit more in the first half. That way we don't have to keep doing dumb comebacks in the fourth quarter.
What I will say is I don't think they are going to do that. No. At least not early on, but I don't know if it matters this coming week.
Mm-hmm. I'll say the Seahawks are a good rock to the Falcons' scissors, because the way you take advantage of the Seahawks is to try to run the ball and control the clock, keep it away from Wilson. Falcons can't really do that. They try to attack with the receivers, and the Seahawks have some of the best, have one of the best secondaries in the league. And it's not really the way it would go.
But this is a Todd Gurley game.
Could be. I mean, I expect that,
Todd Gurley games this year. I think that people were down on that Atlanta signing, but they carried just about zero risk. I have a feeling that the Falcons are going to be happy they did that.
Yeah, it should be all right.
If it goes bad, it goes bad. But, There's not any long-term commitment.
Mm-hmm. I like the Seahawks as well, but I think this will be a close. I think this will be a field goal game, and I like getting the -2 just because Falcons. It just feels like a 28-24 type of finish. Next up on the 1 o'clock slate, the Cleveland Browns, and we will refrain from making Odell Beckham jokes on this podcast. Here's what I'll say. I'm not sure if a guy should be getting insanely crushed just because of something like some not necessarily a reputable source said on a podcast is what I'll say.
Yeah, right? that's fair. I will say this.
Yeah.
My opinion of Odell Beckham has not changed in the last 48 hours.
No, mine neither. But this will be something the guys on the field that are guarding him, because we've seen it in the past. Like Josh Norman, it was Josh Norman, right, who was able to get in Odell Beckham's head that one time, albeit 3 years ago. But like guys on the field will be saying, like the cornerbacks on Baltimore will be having a field day. With
Earl Thomas isn't on this team anymore. It's almost
that's true. Yeah,
almost unfair. Marcus Peters is there now. He'll have something to say.
That's true. That's true.
I will say the big thing that's going to happen here from a pop culture perspective is there are so many people who play fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
And so many leagues, there's going to be an Odell Beckham joke in team names. Like whoever has Odell Beckham will have, there'll be something in there.
Yeah. Here's what should happen. If Odell Beckham scores the first touchdown of this game, he has to have some sort of celebration where he pretends to poop out the football, right?
Yeah. See, to me, you find a teammate, and for Odell, I would suspect it's Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
To poop out the football onto Odell. Isn't that how you do this?
You got to do something, right? Like, that's just how it's got to happen, right?
Scores a big touchdown, someone has to fake poop on him.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Anyway, now that we've got all that aside, we got it out of our system. Let's talk about the game. The Cleveland Browns are heading to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. The Ravens, -8.5, Craig. in this.
See, that feels a little much to me, too. Cleveland won this game last year.
They did. But wasn't it, was it a actual significant game, or when it was, or did Baltimore have everything sewed up?
It was week three.
Oh, so,
no,
yeah,
it was
so that definitely counts. I'm taking Baltimore as one of my five, and here's why. As much as we just joked about the Odell Beckham thing, it is something that goes on the resume of the Cleveland Browns. They were looking to get off on another hot spot.
All the teams.
Right? You know, like they were looking off, yeah, of all the, just on the name, just the name
yeah,
alone.
Yeah, the name alone.
Right?
Yeah.
But also just, they're looking to get off on the right foot. And they have this happen days before they're supposed to take on a
division rival.
Division, not only a division rival, but a Super Bowl, a team with Super Bowl aspirations. And they're just like new coach, new everything, new system, which they haven't been able to fully implement in the COVID era. And I just like the Baltimore Ravens to just come in there and just lay the smackdown on the just lay the smackdown on the Browns, because they got John Harbaugh and everything's steady and they know what they're doing. Not too much turnover on the roster from last year. I think they just lay the smackdown on the Browns. I'm taking Baltimore as one of my five. Bill disagrees with me, though, because he's got Cleveland as one of his five. But
I think the Browns are a little underrated. I don't know if Baltimore has solved their defend the run issues, which is why Cleveland won this game last year.
Yep.
And 8.5 is a lot of points for a divisional game.
I just think this game should probably be a 10. I think I'm getting a free. I think I'm getting a free point and a half.
Point and a half?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so they're going to be 1-5. Next up, the Nye Jets are heading to Buffalo to take on the Bills. The Bills, another team that with a little bit of Super Bowl aspirations. They are kind of the hype team this year, Craig. Everybody penciling them in. I'm not so convinced. The Bills, -6.5 against the Jets. I think this is a really good spot to take the Jets here, and we might not get too many spots to take the Jets. What do you think on this one?
Yeah, I think that 6.5 is a little much. And look, I don't love this Jets team.
No.
But if you're taking a 7-point favorite, I think you have to be confident. And hey, my quarterback's going to get us up big. Mm. And I don't know if that's going to happen here. You want the Bills with the to cover a spread of nearly a touchdown. Aren't you essentially counting on them scoring on defense or having some sort of like important turnover deep in Jets territory?
Absolutely. And the Jets-Bills, historically, in Week 1, play really weird freaking games. Like, these games it's always true. End. Last year, the Jets, I think, were up 16-0 on the Bills, and then the Bills ended up winning the game 17-16 or something like that. It was freaking weird. I think you should take the Jets and the points, just because I think at most this will be Bills by 3 to win the game. I think this is a good spot to take the Jets. They're not going to be one of my five, because I like a few other ones, but I think that...
Some of the points here is good.
Yeah. Moving on, the Las Vegas Raiders, Craig, are heading to Carolina to take on the Panthers. The Raiders, a -3 road favorite. Look at them try to sucker us into betting the Panthers week one. I see what Vegas is trying to do here, and I'm not going to fall for it, Craig. They're trying to sucker us into taking the Panthers, and guess what? I'm not going to do it. Stay away from me. What do you think on this one? Panthers getting 3 at home.
I like the Panthers, man. Mm. You know what? What's the over-under in this game? Because I think both these defenses are bad, and both these offenses are good.
It's 47.
I like. I'm gonna pound that over. I think.
Mm. Yeah, might not be a bad.
I just think it's a game where no one's stopping anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's gonna. And look, it's not gonna be a situation where this is not gonna be Rams Chiefs on Monday Night Football a couple years ago when every time you turn around someone goes for a 60-yard score, because that's not how these offenses work. But these are good offenses, I think, and they're not gonna be going over the top all the time, but they'll have the right players in the right spots making plays. I am into the over here, and I kind of like the Panthers. I think that they're underrated. I think that the offense is legitimately good. The defense is awful, but the offense is good.
Yeah, Vegas is up to something here. It just seems like such a sucker bet for me to take the Panthers.
It's a little too much. I understand that they're probably having a hard, you and I are having a hard time here thinking about, hey, how does the home field or lack of home field impact this line or that line? I suspect they're having a hard time setting these lines because, how do you do it? You don't know. But, I'm definitely taking the Panthers here.
Next up, the Chicago Bears heading to Detroit to take on my beloved Detroit Lions. Lions getting the 3-point home bump. So that's kind of the first real line we've seen all year. Correct?
That's the first line that like is like, oh yeah, that's what makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're saying the Lions and Bears are relatively equal in talent, and I would agree with that assessment. I like the Lions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
I think the Lions are better.
Yeah, stay away from me. I think the Lions are better. Mitchell Trubisky is going to start this game, which is, you know, inexplicable to myself. But
here's what I would say about that. I think that says a lot more about Nick Foles than does about anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody, I can't remember.
They didn't trade a fourth round pick for Nick Foles for him to not be the starting quarterback. The fact that Trubisky seems to have outplayed him in camp, mm-hmm. that is on Nick Foles.
Yeah, I think it's also that, like, there's a little bit of somebody, a few people have pointed out that they're like, listen, they want to play, like a few people who are close to Bears camp have basically said they want to play Foles, but you can't just hand the keys to Foles because of the high draft pick that you invested in Trubisky. So
that's
Trubisky
insane.
Is just on an insanely short leash is what I'm.
And why, like, yeah. I don't doubt your intel and what people are saying there. I just think mm-hmm. that the Bears are insane because you're talking, this is a divisional game they're giving away in a year where you can win this division.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is a winnable division for you. I don't understand because if you're thinking, oh yeah, we're just going to play Mitch until he's bad enough to yank him. What, like, that's insane to me. That's insane. Yeah. Play the guy who gives you the best chance to win this week. There are 16 games. There are 16 games. And to quote Dennis Green, or excuse me, not Dennis Green, Herm Edwards, mm-hmm. you play to win the game. Mm-hmm. And this isn't, like, about politics. This is about, I want to win a football game on Sunday, an important football game on Sunday, because even though it's week one, it's important. Send out the guy that you think gives you the best chance to win. If they think that's Trubisky, okay, if they're doing it because politics or because, well, we gave up a big-time draft pick for this guy, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I will say this. Mitch Trubisky, one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen play in my entire life. The one team he does have repeated success against, the Detroit Lions. So there's that. I don't know. Just I would take the Lions, but I think there's better spots to look for in other games is what I'll say. Next up, the Indianapolis Colts head to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. The Colts, a -7.5 road favorite. This game's easy, Craig. Who are you taking?
Well, before we say anything about this game, mm-hmm. I've been waiting a few months to say this, and I'm glad I get to say it again. Mm-hmm. Scott Hansen.
Oh, give it to me.
Do not show this game. I don't want to see this.
Game. I get that you don't want to see it, but from a gambling standpoint, I'm gonna be at least watching
the Colts. I agree. I'm very much into the Colts. I think
you're
this
on the
is
Colts.
A
wow. I'm on Jacksonville. I thought this was a no brainer, Jacksonville for me.
Oh really?
Yeah, the Colts, new quarterback.
You understand the Jaguars are trying to lose.
I know, but this is the Colts, new quarterback, new system. Heading to Jacksonville to play in the hot sun.
What I will say about the quarterback here is that Frank Reich has been Phillip Rivers' offensive coordinator before. This is not going to be all new terminology for him.
Yeah.
But I just think that one of these two teams is losing on purpose, and I'm going to take the other one.
That's fine. I could just see. I'm not picking Jacksonville to win. I'm just picking them to lose by 7.5 or less. I just think I think trusting the Colts on the road in Jacksonville with
weird stuff does happen in Florida.
Touchdown. Yeah,
weird stuff does happen in Florida in September. I agree with that.
So yeah, for all those reasons, I'm taking the Jaguars. But I get the and like.
Do you agree with me on the Scott Hansen assessment? There's only one other contender.
Absolutely. The other contender for me, I guess, is, I mean, Jets-Bills would be the other contender for me.
I'm kind of interested to see what that, like, the Bills are supposed to be, like, a real good team.
But yeah,
so
that's the thing, yeah.
Eagles-Washington was the other one I considered.
Yes. Oh, for sure, yeah, I was going to say.
Or Eagles versus football team, excuse me.
Yeah, Eagles versus football team, yeah, that's right. Because, it can't be Raiders-Panthers because, as we mentioned earlier, the offenses in that game should at least be fun. Plus, I don't think Christian McCaffrey is allowed to be in a Scott Hansen game, so...
No, that is factual. That's why I didn't even consider Raiders Panthers. I think there's gonna be a lot of scoring in that one.
Mm-hmm. Next up, the Green Bay Packers head to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Vikings getting the 3-point home bump, big division matchup right away in week one. How you feeling about this one, Kurt?
Give me the Vikings.
Vikings just lost Henderson to IR. He is going to
Hunter.
Hunter, sorry, to no. IR. So he'll be missing a couple games. A little bit of a loss there, but
that is definitely a loss. He don't. They expect him back within the month. But the one thing that that makes me feel a little bit different about this defense now compared to if this happened a week ago is Yannick Ngakoue plays for the Vikings now. So it's not as though, wow, they're devoid of pass rushers who can win sort of a one-on-one. It's better to have two than one, but having one is the hell of a lot better than zero.
Yeah.
So you still have Ngakoue. I think they might be okay to still get pressure on Rodgers. Obviously the Packers are pretty formidable along the offensive line, but I think they might still be able to do that. I'll take Minnesota.
This is another this matchup early last year. I think it was week two, or it was week one or week two, where the Packers beat the Vikings, where the Vikings snatched a defeat from the jaws of victory in that game with a weird Kirk Cousins interception where he probably shouldn't have even thrown the ball late game. So hopefully there's none of that and the Vikings just get a W over the Packers. Next up. The Miami Dolphins head to New England to take on Cam Newton's Patriots. The New England Patriots -6.5 in New England, Craig.
This is a weird line. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Pats though.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Getting the less than a touchdown with the Patriots. I'm curious to see how this goes. Obviously, this isn't going to be a Scott Hansen game because. We gotta just see.
I'm too Patriots, curious right? about yeah. like the Patriots are playing a football game without Tom Brady on the roster. They played without Tom Brady, but they're playing a football game without Tom Brady on the roster for the first time in 20 years. So I will be interested to see how this goes.
Yeah, got it. Got it. Yeah,
a former MVP is their current quarterback. I feel like that's also interesting.
Yeah. Plus the Dolphins were pretty frisky last year. They'll probably be frisky again this year.
I will tell you the Patriots' exact roster. Against Miami's exact roster, mm-hmm. Jared Stidham quarterback, and the Patriots are basically any other NFL franchise. This mm-hmm. definitely could have been a Scott Hansen game.
Yeah, that's true. Because like that's the thing, right? The Dolphins are
These are not interesting rosters.
No,
other than Newton is extremely interesting as far as because look. As much as I don't want it to happen for the Patriots, I'd really like to see the good Cam Newton again. I don't know if we will because there's just a lot's happened, but I'd like to see that guy.
It's not only that,
he's fun.
Like,
he's fun to watch play football.
Yeah, it's also crazy because like take the head coach off of the New England Patriots with this roster and give him like an average kind of head coach. You would be like, no, this team. Why would I watch this team play football ever? But it's Bill Belichick, the greatest coach who ever lived. So you're still thinking. I'm still thinking they could win the division, right? So
I'm not ruling them out of doing anything.
Yeah. Any other team, you'd look at this roster and be like 6-10 or 7-9.
Yeah.
But
Belichick squeezes every angle and every edge and.
Yeah. You know. And cheats a little bit when he has to, too. Well, cheats a lot of it.
Also that.
Yeah. In a rather suspicious play, the Patriots win. next up, the Philadelphia Eagles head to Washington to take on the Washington professional football team, which we have jokingly referred to them as for the past, four years on the podcast. And
that's been some time.
Yeah, here we are. Wow, the Washington professional football team. Philadelphia Eagles -6. Point road favorite heading to Washington to take on the football teams. I want nothing to do with this football game. I cannot.
I'm not spending money on this game.
This is the game.
The Eagles are probably going to win this game because the Washington football team probably has the 31st ranked roster in the league. Only Jacksonville's got a worse roster. But yeah, the Eagles will probably win, but I don't have a lot of interest in being part of this, and I certainly don't want to have money on it.
Yeah, just an emphatically bad football game. What's the marquee matchup for the 1 o'clock? Saints Falcons? Do we go Saints Falcons for the? That's got the lowest line. It's either Saints Falcons or Browns Ravens, despite the high line on Browns Ravens.
Browns Ravens is the game I'm most interested in seeing.
Okay, so we'll make that the marquee matchup for the 1 o'clock slate. Next up, the 4 o'clock slate. First up, 4:05 start. The Los Angeles Chargers are heading Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. Chargers getting three on the road against the Joe Burrow-led Cincinnati Bengals. What do you think on this one?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bengals.
I think so, too. I don't know if they'll win the game, but it's just, man, the Chargers, yet again, no Derwin James. A couple other guys have been hurt. Like, Tyrod Taylor in at quarterback. Burrow, but like this might be like a game where you see Burrow do. I mean, the Bengals defense is so bad though. Their offensive line is also really, really bad. But like I could see this being somewhat reminiscent of the RG3 debut in New Orleans where they lose by three, but the Bengals and Burrow just put up a bunch of stats.
Yeah, I think that is a very, very realistic scenario. Derwin James not being part of this hurts, man.
It's so sad. I hate it.
It sucks because the Chargers were a legitimate sleeper team in the AFC. I don't think they're as good as Kansas City, obviously. But the reason why would be, man, the defense, like they don't need a ton out of the offense. And they could be a real good team. Derwin James not being there hurts the ceiling of the defense pretty badly. And the ceiling of the defense is what you liked about the squad. So I don't know if the Bengals are winning, but I'll happily take the field goal.
Yep, I agree. Well, this is easily going to be the 4 o'clock slate. Why is this game?
This is the most interesting week. This is the most interesting week one game.
Period.
I can remember. Yeah. Like I can't remember a more interesting week one game than this.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about Rams Cowboys, are we?
No, this is this is Bucks Saints. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The most decorated quarterback in the history of the NFL is playing for a different team. Yeah, I guess I'll watch that. Yeah.
Bucks Saints. I don't understand why this isn't the Monday night game. Actually, I don't understand why this isn't the Sunday night game either. I don't understand why this isn't in prime time. I get that they want the marquee franchises. Like they've got Pittsburgh and New York on Monday, and the Dallas Cowboys obviously are locked into playing the Sunday nighter in every.
But like, ask an NFL team, hey, which game are you more interested in watching this week that does not involve your team?
Yeah,
I suspect that the high 90s percentage say, oh, wow, Patriots. I mean, Patriots, here we are. Bucks versus Saints. Yeah, that's the game I want to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So why this game is being played at 425, I just don't understand. Saints are at home. They're favored by -3.5. I believe Craig just mentioned that they're going to have people in this stadium.
I shouldn't say that. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Broncos were the ones that, the Broncos are for their game against Tampa week three, they're allowing 70, whatever in.
Okay. So the Saints, empty stadium. So I guess no home field advantage. I mean, I guess the turf will help a little bit, but I'm wondering, cause usually that crowd is the reason they get the home field advantage. Saints -3.5 against the Bucks. All eyes will be on this football game. What say you, Craig?
I kind of want Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think you do too, because they're giving you the extra half point hook.
Yeah, that point is why I said that.
Mm-hmm. I gotta agree.
And the Buccaneers over the years have made this game in New Orleans pretty competitive with lousy quarterbacks. Now they have Tom Brady.
That's true. Yeah, this game has always kind of gone back and forth. I think getting the extra half point hook. I like the Bucks. I think what they're doing. Although I guess Mike Evans is a game time decision for this game with some sort of hamstring injury. So that
takes
away
from your ceiling. Yes, for sure. Yeah, but I think they'll be able to score points
regardless. Yeah. Just you look at that offense, and they really should. Just the names on it are just too good. I agree with you though. I'm in the Bucks corner on this one. Last game of the 4 o'clock slate: the Arizona Cardinals head to San Francisco to take on the Niners. The Niners -7. I looked at this game, or the line on this game moved because it was Cardinals 7.5 this morning when I looked at it, and I made it one of my five at 7.5. So if you want the Cardinals at 7.5, it's going to be there for you, Craig, because I'm giving it to myself at the 5.5 because I don't want to erase it. But it's currently Niners -7. I just thought the 7.5 was way too high for this, what should be a very frisky Arizona Cardinals team.
My concern about this.
Mm-hmm.
This game, if I'm betting Arizona, and I generally agree with you, I don't. This is not going to be one of my five though. Mm-hmm. Is the game script that we saw the 49ers use last year against some of the top offenses was, we're just going to control the clock and run the ball a ton. Mm-hmm. And if you can't stop us, we're going to have the ball a lot, and we're going to drain the clock, and we're going to score every time, and you're going to be down and have to catch up. And look, the Cardinals are capable of that. I just think that the Niners might control the ball for a significant amount of time in this game.
Yeah. I just, like I said, I like the 7.5, getting the extra half point hook, which is, you have to stretch that to find, you have to go searching to find that now. But when I wrote it down, the 7.5 was just too high, and obviously some people agree with me because they bet it down to 7, so. So there's that. Yeah, I just think it's 7.5. You have to take it if you have to take this frisk.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. If you're getting more than a touchdown, it's fair. To me, I'm staying away. I just don't like it at 7.
Makes sense. Sunday nighter, the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, Craig, head into Los Angeles to take on the Rams. The Cowboys -2.5 road favorite. I think, and this is going to be one of my 5, that this is an excellent spot to take the Los Angeles Rams. I think that they are prime for a quote-unquote bounce back or whatever. And I know people will look at the quarterback and just kind of go like, oh, you know, Prescott and whatnot versus Prescott versus Goff. Let's go with Prescott in that one. But I foresee a vintage Sean McVay performance here. And I think the Rams are going to win this and pump the brakes a little on this Cowboys hype train. So I'm taking the Rams +2.5. Bill disagrees with me. He's got Dallas on the road, given 2.5, but I think this is a great spot to try to get on the Rams. And I think we should get on the Rams early, because once they are 4-0 or whatever, and everybody realizes Sean McVay was not a 1-year wonder fluke, type of guy, I think these lines are going to be a lot. I think the Rams are going to stop giving points by like week 3 or 4. So I think this is a good spot to pick up on the Rams. What do you think?
I would agree with you guys. Most teams, I just think that the Cowboys are extremely good, and I think that they're going to win this game. And I don't think 2.5 is enough for me to make me wonder about that. So I think I'm going to take the Cowboys. I really like them, and I like them in this matchup where I think that they'll. The Rams obviously have some superstars on defense, but they've got a lot of spots on defense where you just don't know.
Okay. And one guy they just paid very handsomely.
They gave Jalen Ramsey a lot of money, which, sure, yeah. That, if you have Jalen Ramsey, you pay him a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But when you also paid Aaron Donald, which, again, sure, that's the right thing to do, and you've also paid
Jared Goff.
a little bit different, but... Yeah. Yeah, it becomes a lot of money wrapped up in a few guys. The stars and scrubs roster, if you will. Mm-hmm. I think there this Dallas offense has enough ways that it can get at you that they're going to find some matchups that's productive for them.
All right. Monday nighter, the Pittsburgh Steelers are heading to New York to take on the Giants. This line has moved again because I wrote down Pittsburgh as one of my 5. They were at -5. I wrote it down as -5. So if you want it at -5, it's there for you, Craig, because I also gave it to Bill, who also took Pitt. Pitt is currently -6 point favorite against the Giants on the road.
Yeah, the Steelers are one of my 5.
Yeah, so you want the Steelers at -5?
I'll take the 5, yeah.
Yeah,
I think the Giants are really not very good, and I think that Pittsburgh's very good.
Mm-hmm. And they've got their actual quarterback who's good. Throwing the football again.
The Steelers had one problem last season. The defense was great. They had the offensive line was good. They had good their skill position guys when they were healthy were fine. Even and like I say this about the Cleveland baseball team, where it feels like they have like a creative player option where they can just like create good starting pitchers out of nowhere. Yeah. I feel like the Steelers can do the very same thing with the quality receivers because it feels like every year they're like, oh yeah, we just have another one. We have another guy who's really good. And Deontay Johnson might be the guy this year. I will take the Steelers because I think they're going to win this game by a lot. The Giants will be giving up points in this game.
Completely agree. Nothing else to add. Pitt is the way to go on this one. Last game of the season, the 2-night Monday nighter game. We always love this. The Tennessee Titans are heading to Denver to take on your Denver Broncos, Craig. Tennessee Titans giving 2 in Mile High. Mile High, might still be one of the, even without the fans, although you just said they're getting
fans
back
this
soon.
Is the only, yeah, but even when there's fans back, when it's like 10 capacity, I don't think it gives you an advantage. You can't yell loud enough to disrupt an offense. However, this is the one home field advantage that doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't matter who's in the stands and who's not. If you're 5,000 feet above sea level and one set of players is used to that, one set of players is not, well, that's an advantage. So does that mean I'm taking the Broncos? I'm thinking about it. But, did the Broncos ever get some bad news yesterday?
Yeah, and that's Von Miller tough. Out for the season. And is he in a contract year or is next year a contract year?
The Broncos still have can have Miller on the roster next year, but it's one of those years that there's going to have to be a restructure. Otherwise, the cap figure just doesn't really make sense. So it'll be interesting if he doesn't play between now and then, if that restructure can be achieved. I obviously am hopeful that that Von Miller only plays for the Broncos in his career. I would be sad to see him play for some other team, and he's going to continue to, and this year would have been a year that he would have moved up the NFL's all-time sack list. Mm-hmm. Now that's not going to happen, which is too bad, but he was looking great in camp, and it's a depressing situation, and Bradley Chubb, not quite back at full strength. He's going to be on a bit of a pitch count because he tore his ACL 11 months ago, and they're being careful with him. It's the guy who's the heart and soul of the team, and he ain't going to be around, and that really, really sucks. And I was looking forward to sort of keeping track of, okay, how many more sacks does he have to pass this guy, or how many more sacks does he have to pass that guy on the all-time list, and I guess that's going to have to wait a year. I just really hope that the next time we're talking about that, he is playing for the Denver Broncos as opposed to some other team, because there is definitely going to be a conversation about how that continues based on the way that his contract is structured right now.
Yeah. As far as gambling on this one goes, I just have this to stay away, because I kind of want to wait and see if the Titans might be for real, right? Like we don't know yet if they were just a weirdly fluky team that kind of got hot last year. But I believe in that coach. I kind of believe in what they're doing defensively, and I'm into the Tannehill resurgence. So I like the Titans, not enough to take them on the road. Plus, this game every year, freaky crap happens in the late night Monday game, right? Like, this is habitually just a weird, weird game.
Yeah, weird stuff happens in the late game all the time. So I really hope weird stuff happens in Denver's favor.
Yeah, like that would probably
It's a tough matchup to start the year, obviously.
Yeah,
the big question, obviously, about the Tennessee team is what version of Ryan Tannehill are we going to see? The one who was like the best quarterback in the league for a month and a half last year? Or the one that we saw in every single snap he took before that?
Yeah.
And that's a very good question. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's it for week one. All that's left to do is give our glorious, glorious picks. I'm going to let Bill start it off here since he sent me his five picks. Bill is taking Pittsburgh minus the 5. He is believing in the Tennessee Titans because he's laying the 2 on the road. He's also laying 2 on the road with Dallas. So that's 3 road favorites that Bill's taking. So there's that. He's taking the New Orleans Saints, even with the half-point hook, as his fourth pick. And for his last pick, he gets one dog. He's taking the Cleveland Browns. For my picks, I'm going to take Jacksonville plus the points. I was very adamant about that earlier. Give me Baltimore minus the 8.5. I'm going to take the plus 7.5 with Arizona that I wrote down earlier. Give me the Rams, and I am going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers as well at the minus 5. Craig, take us home for week one, 2020.
Also taking the Steelers.
All right, clean sweep on Pittsburgh.
I'm taking the Panthers at home, getting a few goals. I'm taking the Lions, Pierce.
Oh, nice.
I'm taking Cleveland. And my last one is, you know what? It's going to be the Bengals.
Okay. Cincinnati getting 3 at home. So we're looking pretty good here. Crossover Podcast available at thecrossoverpodcast.com, facebook.com/crossoverpodcast, and soundcloud.com/crossoverpodcast. We're on iTunes. Please rate and subscribe. 5 stars only. And as always, you do not have to listen, but please download the Crossover Podcast. We are also on Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. So please check us out there and pump up our numbers there and leave us a quick review. 5 stars only on that as well. And that is it for us for this week. We will be back next week. Of course, this podcast is a little shorter than normal. Next week, we will have actual games to dissect and talk about. And, you know, we'll probably have a little bit more to talk about because we'll get to see how weird it is with no fans in the stands and how stuff goes.
If it's like hockey and basketball, yeah, you'll notice it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, well, you know what, though? I take that back. Because in football, you notice that's the sport you notice the crowd the most out of the sports.
And it's you don't get a lot of wide-ranging shots of the crowd. Because football is a start-stop sport, and there's, you know, 40 seconds in between plays and whatnot, you get a lot of wide-sweeping shots of the crowd going crazy and stuff like that. They don't really do that in hockey and basketball, which, you know, while they do have stoppages, are a bit more free-flowing. They really only cut to the stands when they're coming in and out of commercials and whatnot. So I'm interested. It will be a little bit weirder, I think, week one in like football wise, but like with basketball and like with hockey before it, and baseball as well. Baseball, you only really notice it once someone hits a home run, is what I'll say. Like somebody hits a home run and you get a wide shot, and then you're like, oh yeah, there's nobody in the stands. And then like sometimes the ball will go into the stands, and rather than somebody catching it and holding it, it clanks around off of like 15 different seats and then just kind of rests into right or left field or whatever. You know, that's when you notice it in baseball. Other than that, I'm not really noticing it in baseball either. So I imagine it'll be the same. We'll just have that weird, awkward week one, week two transition. And then before we know it, we won't even notice that there's no fans in the stands anymore.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Should be a lot of fun. Can't wait to dissect week one. Specifically, very excited to see what goes on with the Patriots and the Buccaneers, given their new scenarios. And, should be a lot of fun. So we will talk to you next time on the Crossover Podcast. Take care, everybody, and see you next week.